All right, we are here with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Tim Doobie. Tim, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm.
Isn't that when you're supposed to have like the crowd noise? Like are
you
supposed?
We can if you'd like.
That, yeah, let's. You gotta
spice it up.
Let's try it.
Hold on. Where's the hat?
Isn't that dope?
This is great.
All right, let's do that again.
What an audience.
Hold on. Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Tim Doobie, everyone.
Wow. Thank you guys so much. I can't believe this many people showed up on a Friday.
Seriously, this is like more people that show up for weigh-in. Loaded.
First time in front of a live audience. Tim, how are you today?
I'm well, and it's not as many people that show up in Louisiana. Toledo Bend, there was like 15,000 people there.
Wow.
Really?
At weigh-in. It was
Lord
a party.
Lord have mercy. So, first year in the Elite Series. I can imagine it's, what, been stressful? Has it been super fun? Can you explain your experience so far?
Well, it's kind of like a mix of all the emotions, stressful, fun. You know, making the Elite Series was one of my dreams, and fishing it and fishing the Classic. And it doesn't matter how tough the fishing is. You just have to find them, because the Elite Series are the best of the best guys. They catch them every single place we go. Like, you need, your goal has to be 20 pounds no matter what, which is very challenging, especially fishing a lot of different parts of the country that I'm not so much familiar with. But it's been a lot of fun too, just traveling, again, seeing the country, meeting all of your childhood heroes, and then fishing against your childhood heroes, not even meeting them. They're now the competition. It's just been, it's been a lot of fun. It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, but it's fun work.
Can you explain a little bit of that work that goes into it, like the prep and like the studying that you do before you even like get on the water?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for the tournament, we'll go in the reverse order here. So for the tournament, we have 4 days of official tournament. Before that tournament, you have 3 days of official practice, and that's sun up to sundown. So earlier in the year, they're like 12-hour days, and then right now they're 15 or 16-hour days. And coming out of Wheeler Lake, it was 90 degrees every single day of practice, and spending 16 hours out there, it's grindy. It's very grindy out there. But then even before that, I go and I spend a week on the lake for pre-practice, just running around, learning the lake, trying to catch some fish, but really just trying to understand where the best habitat for them are. So like where they're going to be setting up, where they should be going, and then where they are currently.
I think what you just said is huge. And the pre-practice thing is good. And sure, you can catch fish when you're there a month prior, but you truly need to know or have an idea of where those fish are going to end up, because they're not going to be exactly where you left them.
No, and the off-limits period is 28 days ahead of time. So a lot changes in 3 days, 2 days, a single day. Mm-hmm. So pretty much everything you find in pre-practice that has fish on it won't have fish on it during the tournament.
Especially in the spring.
Especially in the spring, and even sometimes the summer. And you're really just looking for areas where they could set up, whether it be an offshore ledge that, you know, has some chunk rock on it, or, you know, you're looking for deep water near it, or, you know, the first deep water near a major spawning cove, stuff where fish are going to be transitioning out of their springtime going into their summertime. But you're looking during springtime. Mm-hmm. So no fish are out there yet. So it kind of feels like a waste of time. But in the end, it's never a waste of time when you spend the day on the water. And even before I get there for that week of pre-practice, I'm on YouTube. I'm all over the internet searching tournament results, seeing what kind of weight is to be expected, what kind of seasonal patterns are to be expected. Because, like I said, on a lot of these lakes down south, I have little to zero experience on them. And, you know, I always say to myself, a bass is a bass is a bass. Mm-hmm. They're going to set up on structure. They're ambush predators. They're opportunistic eaters. So a bass is a bass is a bass, but they eat different things. They set up on different structure or cover. And so it's just a lot of adjusting.
So has there been anybody in the Elite Series that has changed your perception of studying or going into these tournaments that has really helped you or benefit you in previous to when you weren't in the Elite Series? Or is it really like just cutthroat? Like, there's really no help at all.
It's definitely cutthroat, but the Elite Series is very clicked up. So you have your little groups of people that share information with each other, and you have to have it. You have to have a network on the water that you can trust the guy that you're telling info to, and you can trust what they're saying back to you. Right. And typically it's like two or three guys that I talk to pretty consistently. And, you know, some of us or some of the guys, it's just like, hey, I'm catching him in 18 feet of water on the break, or hey, I'm catching them on a drop shot, or they're eating the crankbait pretty good. It's something along those lines. And then, you know, I travel with Will Davis Jr. and Mark Menendez, and Will and I will sit there and we'll share waypoints and exact spots. We're like, hey, I think you could get a limit here. Right. And just like, it might not be a winning spot, but say you go catch two really good ones and you're struggling to get a bite. And we now have that spot where you can show up and catch a 2-pounder. Or you can catch a couple 2-pounders. But I like I said, I pre-practice for every single tournament this year. I'll pre-practice next year because I feel like the most valuable thing is spending time on the water and getting familiar with the lake you're on. Of, well, it takes me 3 minutes to run from this island to this island, or it takes me 45 minutes to go from this creek to takeoff, just knowing all of the travel time and just, like I said, getting familiar with the body of water.
So you travel with Will Davis Jr., Mark Menendez.
Yep.
And you're part of this rookie class this year. Has there been any sort of hazing or any sort of troublemaking for the rookie class? Well, just for you, rather, that you've experienced.
I was going to say, there's definitely been some troublemaking. not really for me. You know, I have pretty thick skin, and, you know, it's a professional sport.
Yeah.
And I treat everyone with professionalism that I would like to be treated back with. Mm-hmm. And no one's ever, so to speak, crossed the line. And yeah.
No confrontations.
No, nothing yet. Nothing crazy.
Nothing too bad. So what has been like the biggest change that you've experienced from not being in the Elite Series to now that you've really had to drastically change?
I mean, relearning how to catch bass, because I was very not set in my ways, but you know, back home, I knew what they were doing this time of year. I knew what they were doing, what they were going to be doing in a week. I knew what they were going to be doing in 2 weeks. And you knew their seasonal patterns, and you know, like, just time on the water back home, knowing that, like, hey, this dock is great in September, but there's nothing on it in August.
Yeah.
And just relearning pretty much how to catch them.
Being open-minded.
Open-minded, yes. Open-minded. That's a great.
Just knowing when to scrap something and just, man, I got to get off a ledge. I just got to get on the bank.
Yeah, no preconceived notions, pretty much. Just open mind and just fishing to your strengths as well, because you can kind of catch them however you want to catch them, especially on certain lakes, and especially just fishing how I like to catch them.
Right. So what has been the most entertaining lake to fish on so far this season?
I mean, I would have to say Toledo Bend. The very first one there, I went out day one, caught 3 bass, but I would go back there any day of the week. Like, anytime you set the hook there, it could be a 7 to 11 pounder.
And I mean, talk about getting thrown to the wolves. Toledo Bend is gigantic. Like, you've never been there before. Like, just standing timber, wild. I mean, just a huge place. boat lanes. You never run boat lanes before.
And yeah, boat lanes are tricky, and there is a map chip that you can get, and it shows you the boat lanes of where to run, but then the boat lanes are colored. So you have like green means go, yellow means caution, red like idle it. And so even though it's a boat lane,
red means you better have the leash on.
Yeah, you better have. Oh, I wouldn't go any of those places without a leash on. Yeah,
no doubt.
Because you never know. And then, you know, the wood breaks or the timber breaks because it's getting older, right. And it just floats. And there's many times where, you know, you're taking off at 7 o'clock and it got light at 7:55 and it's not really bright out. And then you're running 70 miles an hour down the lake.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I'm glad you said that, Joe, because whenever we did, so I fished the Tuesday nighter as a co-angler against Joe and Tim. That was pretty intimidating first time. But whenever I got in the boat, I asked my
partner.
I asked him, do you have a leash on? And he said no. And it did kind of worry me there for a second because I'm so aware of what happens when you...
Sure.
What could happen if you don't. So, yeah, that did bother me a little bit, but...
It's a nice peace of mind.
Yeah, it is. I didn't ever understand it until getting in the boat Tuesday, and I was like, oh, it actually is, like... It's kind of worrying. It kind of sits in the back of your head, but
what, that a motor might come and hit you in the back of the head?
It's kind of terrifying because we see all these incidents that happen. But so you're here in between events.
Yes.
Do you have I know you have a game plan, but what is the game plan going into this event?
So we have Smith Lake coming up. Smith Lake is like a lake I've never really fished before. It has shades of Hartwell in it. It's dominated by spotted bass. But then you can also throw in a kicker largemouth bass, but there's not a lot of largemouth in that lake. So it's pretty much the main game plan of next week is to not get hit by a wake boat. Because it's 4th of July week on Smith Lake, which is one of the biggest party lakes in the country. So first goal is not to get hit by a wake boat. And then the second goal is, just kind of catch what I can catch. So
that's a pretty opportunistic lake, right?
It is. So it's deep. It's clear.
Bait does weird stuff sometimes.
Yep. So you're going to have a topwater on your deck no matter what time of year it is there. And it's pretty much going to be dominated by forward facing sonar. So it's going to be, you're going to be fishing spotted bass in probably anywhere from 25 to 70 feet of water.
Right.
While dodging wake boats.
That brings up a good question. Could you name some of the lakes that wouldn't be dominated by forward facing sonar?
I mean the last one we were at, Lake Wheeler.
Yeah.
Or Wheeler Lake. That was dominated.
Who won it?
That was Cliff Prince. Mm-hmm. Throwing a chatterbait up on the bars and grass and the shell bar, and I don't think he looked down once. He was just fishing.
Right.
And then I know that there are a lot of other guys doing that as well, fishing. You know, when you're fishing dirt shallow like that, forward facing isn't really a player. Same thing with Lake Murray. You had your morning kind of commotions happening where all those herring would go over the points and blow up, and you're just, I call it eye scope. You're using your eyeballs, not the fish finder.
Right.
And just touching on that real quick with Murray, you could have a starting spot that you thought was absolutely amazing, and then you have these 5 to 7 pound stripers come in. And guess what? Those largemouth are gone.
Yeah, they get bullied right out.
Out of there. Yeah, tough.
How long have you known Joe?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that the other day. He was always around. He was just like that little like that little brother. Like, he was just always around and like a little ankle biter. No, he's always been there. I can't put it. It's been a lot of years.
2012, probably 2010.
Maybe. Yeah. Longer than that. Maybe. It was definitely longer than that because
I started fishing New Hampshire Bass Nation in 2009, 10.
Gotcha.
I bet he got my attention faster than I got his attention. Because I'm like, who's this kid catching him? Like, I just noticed the boats changed. You started in like a 17 footer, and then it was like a 19 footer, and then it's 21 foot Phoenix, and I'm like, this kid's coming. Big time. And he's so catching him.
Joe almost predicted you just being a pro way back when, essentially.
Absolutely not. No, there's a huge difference between a local stick and a professional. There is a massive difference. And I am somewhere in between there right now, currently.
Polishing it. You're just polishing it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like I said, you get set in your ways.
Set in your ways, and this whole other thing on the professional side that people tend to forget about. Everybody just thinks you go out there and fish. Mm-hmm. You have sponsor obligations.
Yep.
You're doing podcasts. I'm pretty sure Tim would rather be on the water right now. It's 91 degrees. It's really nice out. But
they probably just started pulling water, too.
Probably just started moving some. So, you know,
well,
there
we thank
are
you
other
for
things.
Being here.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of the things that goes into being a professional.
How long have you been here, like, staying in between events? Since last week and next week?
Well, I'll be here for 7 days total.
Okay.
But we were doing the math the other day, and I've been in Kentucky for a full month by the end of this week.
Good experience?
Throughout the year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Throughout the year. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Pre-practice for Texas events.
Yeah.
The classic pre-practice. Mm-hmm. They come in, and then coming back to the tournaments. It's very centralized.
Yeah,
it's just right there. It's just when you really don't want to drive anymore, and it's like just the perfect time. Mm-hmm.
Because I start getting cranky when I'm in the truck. So when people ask me, like, oh, what's it like being a professional bass angler? I'm like, you better like driving the truck. Mm. Because all you do is drive.
Yeah.
I've done 30,000 miles on my truck since January.
So two things he's learned. He needs a gas sponsor. And fishing down in the south, he needs a Pedialyte sponsor.
Yes. Yeah, Pedialyte was the unsung hero of last week because I don't know how I would have made it without it, because you can't hold on to water. It's your sweat is coming out of every pore in your body when it's 96 degrees with like 88% humidity or 90% humidity.
No wind.
Yeah. No wind.
We'll be sending that clip to Pedialyte. Maybe we should. We can get you a check from them.
There we go. No. I'm not looking for money, just product.
Well, maybe some money.
Maybe some money. Yeah, never going to say no to money.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, is there anything that you want to say coming off of it? I mean, obviously, like he said, it's a really great day. How many days of these 7 days have you fished Kentucky Lake?
I fished every day I've been here except for Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday I didn't fish. I took Tuesday off. You need to take an off day every now and again.
This is a mental health week.
It was.
Yeah. Real relaxing.
Yes. Sleeping in, you know, catching up on some sleep. Because like I said, those tournament days last week, or the pre-practice days, you're on the water at 5 and you get off the water at 8:30, and then you eat dinner, and before you know it's 10 o'clock, you know, you take a shower, you go to bed, you wake up again at 4:30, my alarm was 4:15 to get to the lake. So it's not a lot. You don't have a lot of downtime. It's during like that, tournament week.
It's like that schedules. Movie Groundhog Day. It's just the same thing happens every single day.
Yep.
So what was the transition from, like, whenever you got the call or the notice that you were invited to be on the Elite Series, what was that transition like going from not being on the series to all of a sudden being in the Elite Series?
I mean, night and day. It's I don't even know how to really describe it. I remember being asked to, you know, you qualify for the Elite Series, and, you know, my knees got pretty wobbly. I was like, whoa, really? Because, you know, I qualified for the Classic that same tournament.
Yeah.
And I knew about the Classic. I never knew about the Elite Series until like 10 minutes after I got the plaque for making the Classic. And then they're like, oh, Chris Bowes walks over and goes, hey, you qualify for the Elite Series. You want to do it? I'm like, Whoa.
So how much of, and this is a really loaded question, but how much does life change in what you did and trying to fish events around, I'm going to say, quote unquote, normal life, yeah, versus now where your normal life is, you're basically just living on the water.
Living on the road.
Living on the road,
yeah. I mean, I quit my job because there's no way you can have a job, a 9-to-5 job that you have to go in and fish the Elite Series. It's not possible. So I really went all in, quit my job, started my own business, Tim Doobie Fishing LLC, and really just started preparing, organizing tackle, looking at the schedule of the Elite Series, and just started pretty much doing research on every single lake, as much info as I could gather, taking all these notes on each lake that, you know, if someone in a YouTube video said something, I'm like, huh, that's interesting, I'll make a note of it. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm back on that lake, I'll pull my notes back out and sit there and reread everything I took notes on, and even sometimes pull up the same video. But it's just, I never expected my life to change like that. I'm very happy for the experience, and I'm super, super thankful. I said yes, and I did do it. And I have all these amazing companies that, you know, stepped up and sponsored someone who I didn't have a single sponsorship fishing locally. Mm-hmm. I just bought the stuff I liked. That was it. And now I have, you know, great companies supporting me of all the stuff that I like. And I just never expected to be here.
Can you talk more about, you mentioned Tim Doobie Fishing LLC. Do you want to talk about that? What you do?
Yeah, I started my own clothing company. Everything's on back order because we can't keep up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Got a brand new coming out next week. Sorry.
Hi, Tim. Great seeing you, man.
There's some editing right there.
It was like a special button you hit to no.
Yeah, click edit that.
How about this crowd? I can't believe they have been just on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, that's right. Give it up for the crowd. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, there they are.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
There they are.
There's one guy that's really energetic.
Yeah,
he's screaming.
This is bourbon country.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for coming by, taking time out of your day.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's always good coming by and seeing all the guys at Precision Sonar. This new building is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah,
like if you're in the Benton, Kentucky area,
yeah,
Marshall County, you guys gotta swing over and see this place.
Give him a tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come see Joe. I'll give you a tour.
And pick up your leash.
That's it. Leash, mounts, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, guys. That is a wrap on another episode. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Send us a DM if you want to hear a specific topic or even a guest. Give us some feedback. Once again, we appreciate you for listening.